Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Terry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Just to be stronger than me. You've been here 7 years longer than me. Don't you know you're supposed to be the man? Now pale in comparison to who you think I am. You always wanna talk it through. I don't care. I always have to comfort you when I'm there. But that's what I
it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we are taking a look at resolutions. And I've asked Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart to give us a hand. Mary, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Carrie.
Yes, hello. Great to have you. Now, listen, I want to jump right on in. This is something that, you know, this time of the year, shall we say, everybody's talking about resolution. But many of us don't know how it began. We don't know why we make them. We don't know why we break them. And yet we do it every year. So, Mary, what can you tell us about resolutions?
Oh, I am so glad you asked. I know some stuff here. So
All right. There
is a history. It's not even a new thing. They've traced a celebration back like 4,000 years ago to ancient Babylon. And they
ancient
had a
Babylon?
Babylon, 4,000 plus.
Wow.
So they had a celebration. It was like 12 days. But the thing is, it was in March. So that's when they planted crops. March. They planted crops. They had, you know, celebration, just party, party, party. They crowned their new king, all kinds of good stuff, right? And it went that way. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Spring is the start of so many things, right? But
yes,
Julius Caesar and his Roman Empire and his taking of things, right? He's the one.
Yes.
That switched the calendar, right?
Right.
And switched everything.
For July, I think I heard.
Well, he switched it to January.
Oh, January.
It was like 46 BC. Yes.
Wow.
So all that celebration and new life, mm-hmm. and all that stuff that was, he switched the calendar and the day that we celebrate. And instead of it being like the 12 days,
right.
One day. And so that was when one big switch happened, right?
Wow.
But fast forward a whole lot of years and a lot of religious stuff, and around 1740, one of the clergymen of whatever religion, they decided that it was a time to think about all the bad things that you did. Instead of celebrating anything, it was like time to reflect and think about bad stuff that you did and search for atonement. So, you know, there's a lot of religions that have watch night services, right? You familiar
yes,
with
yes,
any
I've
of those?
Heard of that. Yes, right.
But,
yes.
So the watch night services that we have, that kind of took on some of those beliefs, right? So you're not participating in this party celebration stuff that the secular people do. And so that's another way that they started making resolutions for the next year. So you think about the past naughty things that you did, right? And you make resolutions for the next year to do better. So that's where we are right now. Yeah.
So that has remained.
Yeah, it is definitely a thing. And so right now, instead of making making pacts to, you know, society at large, they say that about 45% of people make pacts to themselves or resolutions for themselves or promises for themselves. Guess how many percentage are really kept, though, Carrie?
I'm going to say it's a minus zero. I'll say half. We'll say folks really make an honest attempt. And I'll say generally I'm believing half the folks keep it. If I look at my own personal, measurement of success over the years,
I'll tell you, mine would be below zero.
Wow, that's funny. Well, there's still room, my son. No
kidding. Oh, thank you, Mary.
They say that about 8% of the people who make resolutions.
8%? That's basically nobody. I'm sorry, folks. That's like 92% of the folks do not. I thought I was like, I felt kind of badly saying that. But basically nobody. But why?
Well,
okay, so Mary Ree Johnson, then why does this tradition, exist or continue? What do you say to that? Why does
it
continue?
I think
it
got bastardized way back. Yeah, it got bastardized. So when you change the date of something, spring, we know generically spring still comes, spring still here, that's replanting, that's growing,
right.
That's all the positivity and upbuilding.
Yes.
So when some group decided, well, I don't control that, so I'm going to switch it, and he put it in the wrong spot, right?
Uh-huh.
he put it in the dead of winter just for control, so he bastardized it from right there. He chose the matrix. And so that is not how it's supposed to be. It's just even contrary to nature. So then they took it and they bastardized it yet again. Back to religion. And I love me some, Jesus and whatnot. I didn't put the sun in the sky. But in any case, whatever you believe, when they took it and they, instead of making it a positive, uplifting, building, growing thing, like, with the earth and how it works,
uh-huh.
They said, well, we're going to say this is bad, and you're going to think about all the naughty things that you've done and whatever. So they twisted it. And so with all these twists and turns, then, of course, it's against your nature, right? And the other thing that we did, we made it about, instead of community and the earth and all the positive things that are there and taking, feeding into that, We fed the negative.
We turned
mind.
It inward,
and
right.
So the resolutions that we're making now are about ourselves, and so that's not even how it's supposed to be. So I think if knowing these things, we can turn it around, and maybe 8% of the people already know, and that's why we even have the 8%. But it's been twisted and turned and bastardized, and we lost the true meaning. And so that's why we're not successful. But we can get back on track.
Well, you know
Everybody
what?
Can get back on track.
Exactly. And that's what I love about this. And that's what we're going to do is take steps to get to inform you how you can get these resolutions back on track. But I'd like to lead off with Mary Ree Johnson. First of all, great job. And thank you so much on the background of resolutions and why we make them. What I'm leading to are some of our resolutions, because no matter how much the challenge is, we still make them. Whether we vocalize that we've made them to our friends, which I usually do to, hold myself accountable, and I'm sure you guys do this out there as well. So I have about five that I make, and we tend, as you just reported, Mary, we tend to make several, all of us make this, maybe one or two are the same. But I think maybe more than that. Okay, so I think all of us make, let's take it from number five for me. I would say that my big thing that I have added would be personal relationships. So I've been hoping that I'll be able to grow closer to family, to friends, to my amazing fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, to my Facebook followers, to our co-hosts and wonderful folks, colleagues here on radio. So that's one of my big, big things. And then, of course, that's my number five. But Mary, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, in light of that, I have one on my list, and it's you already have a wide audience and a wide group of people. So whatever people have, I'm encouraging them as far as to make the world a better place next year, is to widen your circle of people. Add 5 people to your life who are different than
Oh, well, hold it, Mary. Hold
it,
hold that. Those are great. I'm loving that. So I'm going to give you my 5, and then, yes, give us some of your wonderful things that we can overall do to look to improve our lives. So my number 5 was personal relationships, okay? My number 4, clean up my social media. That's my resolution for 2022, so that you guys out there know for this year, this wonderful celebration time. So that's my big thing, social media cleanup. What's 3rd on my list is make mo' money. I call it the 3 M's. Make mo' money. And that means a focus on finance. Yes, looking to see some of the things that I did great during the year and looking ahead at some of the things that I plan to do following this amazing time in our lives, as we all know.
Yeah.
And number 2 on my amazing list, you're going to be surprised about this, but it is, like everybody else, eat better. Eat better, which means taking a look at some of my dietary concerns, some of the ways that, you know, I'm, you know, not looking, eating more vegetables, bad dietary habits, casting them to the side, and looking to improve my vegetarian intake, more natural foods and less processed foods, if at all, and that kind of, in that kind of vein. And would you like to know the number one resolution for this wonderful season? Would you like to know what that is, Mary? You guys out there can pretty much guess. Health. You want to care of your health. So I guess number 2 kind of feeds into that, literally. But yes, I want to kind of exercise, right? I want to exercise on a daily basis, at least 3 times a week. So not to overdo it, because I think, going back to what you said, Mary, when you aim too high, it becomes too much of a challenge. So you're less inclined to keep that. And if you fall off the wagon, so to speak, you don't get back on. So if you, my belief is, if you fall off the wagon, you pretend like you didn't, and you just keep right on going.
Wow.
So that's my big number. That's my 5, big resolutions. Now, what about you, Mary Reed Johnson?
Well, we're all
in
similar
places.
Yeah, basically to make the world a better place this year. Number 1, I encourage everybody to read the book of Proverbs, because it's about behaviors and being a better society member. 2, like we talked about earlier, widen your circle, add about 5 people who are different than the other people in your circle, right? If we know more about each other, we'll communicate better, we'll get rid of some stereotypes. That's my theory. Number 3, get stuff done. So instead of waiting for stuff to be perfect, just get it done. That's my number 3. Eat your elephants. So there's, like, sometimes people have big problems and they don't want to face them, they don't want to deal with them, they don't want to adjust them. But if you pretend that it's an elephant, you can eat an elephant, and you just do it 1 bite at a time. So start it, do it, and by the end of the journey, your elephant will be gone. And then the last one for me is pray for success of myself, of other people, of, you know, people outside of your circle, of the earth in general, just kind of to get back to what it was supposed to be, positive and uplifting and upbuilding society. So I'm going to pray for success. I'm praying for fruits of, you know, efforts that are put forth. And that's my 5.
Well, I think those we can lend to some wonderful aspirations for all of us. And I think for you guys out there who are tuned in, let's not make it something that's so big that you don't tackle it. As you said, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's what you just said, Mary, and I love that, and that's exactly correct. So what you want to do is, start small. Like I said, I'm going to just start small. And my aim is for only 3 times a week. And so that, and if I get there, and if I only do 1 time this week, that's good enough, because that's 1 more than I would have done had I not made the resolution. So really
absolutely
good stuff.
Absolutely. Do you have that resolution list out there still?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. What we shared this on social media, which I absolutely love, this amazing list of resolutions that we tend to share each year. And I think this is everybody. But Mary, why don't you take a look at some of those so we can kind of see what folks, I think some of the ones that we have not mentioned are on this list. And I think you guys are going to love it. So let's take a look, Mary. Why don't you kick off with some of those that are on there?
Kind of related to what I was saying, join a club. You know, something that you like or whatever, just join, and that way you can make some connections.
Plan a vacation. That sounds good.
Yep, I see plan a vacation. And I think experiences are, well, travel is a really great teacher, so I like that one a lot.
Yes.
Volunteer.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna take it from the top because I think
all right.
Just so that we said it to you guys out there, right?
Okay. Yep.
Now they say, Mary, building a budget. This isn't. It doesn't look like it's in any particular order. And for you guys out there, it's on our social media, on my social media, Carrie Hines. We'll put it on the Hair Radio Morning Show page. And as well as at hairradio.com, H-A-I, I believe it's already there at hairadio.com, and just go to our fan page. You'll see it there already. And so, yes, they lead in with build a better budget, which all of us can agree. What I love about this, it includes something that we haven't talked about, cook one new thing. We talked about food, but this says cook one new thing. Not bad. What else did we not say, Mary? Reading a book.
We don't read, apparently. Read a book.
And we need to. Otherwise, on this list. And the very next item says, read more books. So it's really telling us to read. Now, speaking, you did mention this, which is to join a club, which I love this because this is expanding your circle. And that's important to do. Even during these difficult times, we can still look to do that virtually. And that's what this is all about. One cleaning schedule. So that's interesting. I love that, too. And you know what? I'm going to take that to heart. That is to build a cleaning schedule so things can get done on a more regular basis and more effectively. Draw with chalk. I don't know. That's like saying take time to be a kid. You know, like what you, yeah, drawing with chalk. So you go out to your sidewalk. And you remember as a kid, you might have done hopscotch and things like that, you know, with colorful chalk.
Oh,
so it's just giving you permission to still be a kid at heart. Drink less alcohol. Okay, we can all benefit from that, those who imbibe at all. Drink less alcohol. That's important. Say no more on that one. Stop smoking. If you still smoke, whatever you're smoking, stop it. That's never good. Okay? This was on my list. Eating. Exactly. We want you to be around. And eating veggies regularly, eating vegetables. And that was big on my list, as you heard. Share your resolutions. And this is what I kind of led in with, Mary, sharing my resolutions. Because
we're ahead of the game, right? At 8%.
We are. Yes, well, I love this because if you share them, you make yourself accountable. They have a greater chance of success, the potential for success. Mm. What do you think about that?
I think this is excellent.
Okay.
Dare I
and
say
do you
most
see
excellent.
There? Yes. Well, what, Mary? We have try a new diet plan. That's on my list. Mm-hmm. Now, this one I certainly didn't put on the list, doctor's visits. How do you feel about that?
I think it's important. As a matter of fact, it's smart, and you can do it. Like, that could be your annual thing that you do for yourself. Go to visit your doctor and your dentist and all of that stuff. Good idea.
And they say, yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you, Mary. And take the stairs, which is interesting. Okay, instead of the elevator, take the stairs. Walk down, walk up those steps. You burn great calories. Here, they speak of calories. They say cut calories. So cut down on those calories. We know they are there. Again, it harkens back to my diet and eating better type plan, and I think this is a reminder of that. Become a plant owner. I love this. I don't have any live plants in my office here, in my home. There are no live plants, so I'm going to go back to that and put some house plants in that we can take care of. I think it helps to keep things in life around you.
Absolutely.
Are you a big plant person? Do you have a green thumb, Mary?
I actually do, but I go in spurts. So sometimes my plants get so big and I don't like to move and I'll give them away, you know, this type of thing. So
yeah.
I do actually have a pretty green thumb.
Okay, all right. What about planning a vacation? This is something that is really high on the list. Planning a vacation, which I think this time of year you want to think about. Certainly it should be on your resolutions list. That's something you should look at. Even if you can't go now, I think putting the plan into action kind of starts the ball rolling.
Well,
and what do you
Gary,
think about that,
you know,
Mary?
There are staycations. You can explore your neighborhood or set up stuff in your house and treat yourself. I mean, there are staycations.
Wow.
I think travel is always a good teacher. So.
Well, I tell
but you
something.
You don't have to go far away.
Well, we're going to have to do that right here on the Hair Radio Show, and that is to create a staycation, but we're going to call it a playcation. We will play some great songs and music and just get away virtually, a virtual getaway. And I think that'll be something. How's that? So we'll work on that one. My other favorite on this, what they say start on this list is to start doing yoga. I'm not so much a yoga person, but I will apply that to roller skating or, you know, walking or some form of exercise. It says here, drink up. Now, they don't say what, but I'm taking it's not alcohol. So
yeah,
I'm sure they mean
on the list they said cut down. So
no alcohol, right? So this must mean water. We'll take that. You know, do you get to drink like 8 glasses of water a day, Mary?
I do not. I just try to stay hydrated and listen to my body.
Yes.
But
awesome.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, and that'll keep you busy running. You know where. Okay. Right, exactly. And here it says consider therapy. At least they don't insist on it here. So they do use the word consider therapy. Therapy is always great and can help everybody. Also on the list, interestingly enough, and I hadn't thought of this, Mary Reed Johnson, but it says volunteer. So, you know, I think this is very interesting. So volunteer, put forth effort, as you said, Mary, early on this segment, which is to lead in with helping folks out there. And that's really something great. And on this list, yes, it mentions earlier to read and read more books and all of that. But also it says to listen to novels, not just read a novel, but to listen to novels. And I think that is great.
Yeah.
You know, Audible has a lot of that. I myself will be out with my own brand new audio version of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. You guys know my book that's out there
that
right now.
Isn't it exciting?
It is exciting, yes. And this is actually a good time to kind of bring everybody up to speed. If you have just joined us, if you've just tuned in, I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm with Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart, and we are taking a look at the resolutions some general resolutions that are out there that most people are looking to make or will be making or have stated. And so my very merry guest, yes, my very special guest, to help us with this breakdown of the list is Mary Reed Johnson from Hair, Head, Heart. Mary, what can you tell us quickly as we take a little break here in the middle of our wonderful, wonderful resolutions to talk about Hair, Head, Heart? What can you tell us quickly about Hair, Head, Heart?
Well, we are on the growth, transitioning to another level. And I'm going to say, wait a little while longer, but I'm biting and eating my elephant even as we speak. So I'll have more to report very soon.
Well, listen, we are going to tell folks, you guys, please remember to visit our website. Stay connected at HAIRadio.com. That's Hair Radio with just one R. Again, www.hairadio.com. There's a tab there, a fan page tab right at the top. Takes you to all kinds of wonderful information. While you're there, you can read and see the latest that's happening right here at the Hair Radio Network. So we are so excited about that. Well, as the resolutions continue, one of mine that's on this list that is just amazing, and that's lifting weights. So, of course, and that's exactly what I want to do today. I'm going in there and lift weights. I built a gym here in my house. So this year, you know, with our wonderful resolutions, we're going to aim to use that. And it says here, one new exercise is on the list, decorate with family. Doing things with your family, to me, that seems that should be pretty high on the list. Is it on your list as well, Mary?
Wasn't, but that's because I'm already doing that.
Okay.
But I think it's an excellent thing to do, for sure.
Awesome. On this list, this is a surprise. Sanitize your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Yeah, I like that.
If you get breakouts and you don't know why, it's probably your phone. I mean, the masks are already a thing, but your phone doesn't.
Yes, you're right. Now, here on this list, folks, this says try hydrotherapy. Now, hydrotherapy, to me, that's water, involving water. Hydro always means water. That's why studying all these prefixes and things as a kid has paid off, Mary Reed Johnson, coming to radio. Okay, so that's a good one. Delegate more chores. Well, for me, since I only have my little doggy Peppy, if I'm delegating chores, I have nobody else to delegate them to, but if you do, please, it takes it off your, you know, off your plate. Donate old clothes to charity.
Sure,
that's a great one.
To delegate?
Sure.
Even in your business, you don't have to do it all alone. You share, you know, the responsibility. And
Mary, I think you're going away a little bit. One more time.
Oh. I said, even if you're single at home or whatever, doesn't mean that you're not running businesses. So in your business even, make sure you delegate responsibilities. You don't have to complete and do everything by yourself. Share.
Exactly. That's a really good tip. Thank you. Explore new hobbies. We've kind of been talking about that along the way this particular segment. Invest in your skincare. Don't forget your skin, folks, or your skin will forget about you. That's what I always say. Play upbeat music. We do that right here on the Hair Radio Show. We want to jam, and I think that's a great way to stay active and continue on your journey in a good way. Take back your lunch break. So, Mary, do you mm-hmm. carve out a lunch break every day? For those of us who work for ourselves, it's important.
I do.
Yes.
I've learned to be pretty positively selfish over the years. I
awesome.
Will even close my door to my office if I need to. But.
Wow, you're good. You're good. All right. I'm loving that. Well, they're on this list. They only have a few more folks, and I think this is great. Again, if you're just joining us, I'm Carrie Hines with Mary Reed Johnson from Hair, Head, Heart, and we are so excited to be reviewing some of the top resolutions that we either are making or want to make or would like to make, and more importantly, like to keep. So I think this list has been absolutely amazing. So some of the other items that are on here, what I do love about that, we mentioned about the lunch break, and I think this is nice. Take back your lunch break. I love that. Write to yourself. How nice is that? I love to write. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing on my list. I write to myself. I write to everybody. I do one thing at a time. I think you mentioned about focusing, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Focus on that one thing at a time. That'll take you far. Take more walks. None of us walk enough. Well, I think that would be great to get out and walk more. Go to bed on time. These are some hot ones. And this one that I hate to do, make your bed. You okay? All right. More compliments.
If I had an unusual hobby that I could make money off of, it'd be bed making. I can take 20 minutes easily just for fun, try to fold up my sheets and stuff.
Oh, well, you can have that. Yes, and I'll pay whatever you'd like. More compliments was next on the list. More compliments. It doesn't say whether you want to give them or receive them, though, but that's on the list. Learning a new skill, we talked about that a little bit. Adding more citrus, which is a great full of vitamin C to your diet there. Doing your best. And the final one, which I love this, it's setting your mind for something new. And that is a great way to end that. So that's resolutions. That's the list that you guys have to check out. Again, it's at hairradio.com. Go to hairadio.com. It's been my pleasure, my absolute pleasure, to have Mary Reed Johnson go through this list and to break it all down as well. Mary, thank you. Any last words you'd like to share with everybody?
I just have to thank you, which is on the list, more compliments to you, because you do make the world a better place.
Oh, thank you, Mary Reed Johnson of Hair Head Heart. Likewise. And remember to listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show weekdays at Hair Radio. And go to our website at hairadio.com and stay in touch. Stay connected with all the latest happenings. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. It's been my pleasure on Resolutions. We'll see you next time. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Live this morning, and it's very important that we get this on out on this broadcast. As you guys, if you're just joining us, you might have missed it. It was a replay of an interview that we did with Nurse Leslie, who is the ED in the hair and beauty business. We call that the educational director. We're going to be fancy. She's the ED of Barbicide. Barbicide is that blue liquid for you barbers and folks who go into these hair shops that they use as a disinfectant. You guys have seen Barbicide. So what did you think, Mary Reed Johnson? Did you have a chance to hear the wonderful piece with Nurse Leslie?
Of course. Well, Nurse Leslie was filled with good practical solutions to how we can move forward with our practices. And anything involving safety is okay with me.
Absolutely. Now, Mary, I want to just remind the folks, and we're going to get into a lot more memories of 2021. But let's take a look at who Mary Reed Johnson is of Hair Head Heart. And I want to, I'm so overjoyed because, Mary, we go way back. And you were kind enough to extend your platform to me, Carrie Hines, for one of my rare interviews that I do on other platforms. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, a lot of our eagle-eared listeners may recall this. But do you remember when we first got together and you did that great interview, Mary? Do you remember that?
I think they're all great because you are a wealth of information. So I don't know where we started. It's been a while, Carrie.
It's been a long while. This is so true. I just want to say, and I'll tell you this, Mary, you've been with us on many, many occasions. And each year, you know this, but our listeners out there, we do a look back at the year. And so if you're just joining us, you might have missed our first hour. In the first hour, we kind of look back at the beginning of the pandemic. You might not need us to look back at that. It's still kind of with us to a big degree. But I have to say this. In this hour, I want to take a look at some of the folks that we lost in 2021, names that some of you might have forgotten and others that will stay with us forever. But their mark on this planet and most in our community will always remain at the very core of our culture and pop culture in particular. So I just want to say this, Mary. There were some folks that, you know, every day you turn on the news, you're hearing some of these names, and I was blown away, you know, at some of these names. And even in recent times, as we put together this, there's some names that have just popped up that are just, you know, it's going to take a lot. So for you guys out there who are tuned in, we have folks listening to this very broadcast. We're going to give you an opportunity to join us on the air and let us know how you made it through the pandemic. Very simple. We want to hear from you on things that you did to get through this very difficult time because it can help folks out there. So while you're putting together your thoughts, our wonderful fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm turning back to Mary. Mary, let's go through some of the names of 2021 who perished. Well,
it
what about you? Did you have a giant list
of ancestors.
Yes, absolutely, of ancestors. I love how you put that. Now, who are some of the folks that really jump out at you that, you kind of remember where you were when you heard the news that they were no longer with us? So who are some of the biggest names that you heard in 2021? And then we'll take a look back at each month.
Sure. One of my biggest was Cicely Tyson. She had just written her book. She was on tour. I had seen an interview. She was looking lovely as usual. Actually, she looks very much like my mother, who also passed in this time. But, wow.
Very sorry
just,
about that. Wow.
You know, an icon lost. But again, we can pay homage and we can remember them. And remember to do the good things that they would hope that we would do. So be your best self. But she was a big one for me.
Well, I think the rest of the culture, too. Yeah, she was huge for, I think the world literally kind of, you know, fell a little bit off its axis at that time. And you say Bill Withers, another one we opened up the show with his hit, Lovely Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who could not, if you were of a certain generation, you know who Bill Withers is. And even if you're from some of the younger folks out there, you've been influenced by his music without even probably even realizing it. He's just an amazing artist out there. Some of the other folks that we lost, Kay Williams, the actor from The Wire TV show, baseball great Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron.
Wow. Yes. Huge loss. You know, just, of course, DMX, rap artist, aficionado. We lost quite a few rap artists this year. So one of the others was, of course, Biz Markie, who had the big hit.
You got what I need.
Thank you so much,
man.
Mary Reed Johnson. Well, you know what? I've got that song queued. So we'll get that song on for everybody and take a little bit of a music break with that in tribute to Biz Markie and all these folks. Now, I have to tell you, quite a bit happened in the year of 2021. Of course, we started the show with a lot that was happening politically, of course, and we have to pay tribute to all of that, and particularly when the administration, the previous administration, was, you know, their time was over, and here comes Joe Biden. And of course, you guys know from the end of last year, from the end of 2020, we'll say, where he brought along the amazing vice president making history with choosing the first African American person of color, first African American to be in such a high position in the administration.
First female.
She made a whole bunch of firsts.
Yes,
she made a whole bunch of firsts. You can check a lot of boxes with Kamala Harris. So we're so honored and so proud, and she's been doing a great job and so much. And we talked a lot, so you guys want to definitely listen back to the first part as well. We talked a lot about the vaccinations and the pandemic and the stimulus checks and the insurrection. I was about to say the resurrection, but the insurrection and all of that, and some of the hair salon talk. And so right now we're kind of doing a look back at some of the folks who kind of, you know, we won't have going into the new year.
May I throw in one that even though he is not African-American, black, any part of that diaspora, and even though he was wrapped up in some things that we would probably consider not positive, Phil Spector had a huge impact on our music community, and he passed this year.
Oh, did Bill? I thought he was still alive. Wow. No, I'm sure you're right. But I'll tell you something. Phil Spector, for you guys out there, a huge producer who influenced music, especially in the early days. He worked with all of the rock and roll legends and a lot of black artists who were on their way, you know, at the beginning stage of their career, including Tina Turner. One of my favorites, of course, the Ronettes and all of those folks, in addition to so many. And you guys know he was, you know, at the end of this time, he was in prison for a whole bunch of things. I think for murder of one of the background singers or something or another. Google. It's just unbelievable.
He actually had a long history, and we might want to talk about mental illness later, but I don't know what the cause was except that. He had a long history of pulling guns on people, and, you know, he'd have parties, and, you know, he just thought that was funny and good and whatever. But long story short, actually did commit a murder, and he was eventually sentenced for it and served time. But he was still, you know, if you want to look at musical genius in there or how he opened up some markets in there, it was part of what he did too. So
you have to look at
the whole person.
Right. You're absolutely right. Now, here are some of the names from January, in case you forgot. Folks like Larry King, a talk show giant. He passed earlier this year as well in January. We're talking about Hal Holbrook, the actor. He died. Cloris Leachman died back on the January 27th. You know, a lot of these folks, an amazing group. Of course, we lost Cicely Tyson on the 28th of January, as you mentioned. you know, so many folks that it's hard to even imagine. Now, a little bit later, as the pandemic was kind of underway and this huge, you know, with so much illness taking place, and some of these folks, let's just also say this and put this on out there. Not everyone died of COVID. So let's just say that there were quite a few folks who did, you know, so we lost 750,000 folks who succumbed to this awful, dreadful disease. Folks who also that we lost, you guys remember heavyweight boxer Leon Spinks, actor Christopher Plummer, George Shultz, he passed. Yes, a lot of these folks, Chick Corea, I think the jazz keyboardist, they remember the porn publisher Larry Flint passed away. So these are some of the folks. It's just been a long list, literally. The personality Rush Limbaugh died back in February. So many folks passed on in this year that it's hard to. Marvin Hagler, another boxer, died. Wow. Actor Yaphet Kotto, remember him?
Yeah.
He passed away. And so it's just, you don't even believe these. George Segal, actress Jessica Walter, who, for you younger folks, Jessica, I love Jessica Walter. She was known as a great comedic actress in later years. But I think she was in that movie with Clint Eastwood, which really, for the, I'll say for a different generation, for folks who were out there before Basic Instinct, it was the Basic Instinct of that day. In fact, I think Basic Instinct was copied after that movie, if you ask me, but that was played Misty for me. Jessica Walter turned in a stellar performance, and she will always be remembered. What a great actress she was.
The good news, Carrie, there are many, many still among, you know, with us. And so that
Well, this is true.
Now, exciting.
Absolutely. And there's so many folks. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. In May, Olympia Dukakis, Oscar-winning actress Olympia Dukakis, passed away. Yeah, Bobby Unser, I think he was the racing driver. Singer Lloyd Price, remember him? Lloyd Price passed away. So these, you're talking about major names in the world out there, who can believe that these folks are not with us right now? It's hard to believe.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just still kind of, you know, just reeling. General Powell, Colin Powell, passed away. So many folks we lost in this year. Actor Ned Beatty. I think we pronounced his name. Yeah, we used to love him. He was all over the place. And so many. Donald Rumsfeld, the political man, the general, well, he was a government official. He passed away. Just so many folks, you can't even begin to name. And, you know, it's just been a big list.
Mr. Lewis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, what we're going to do, in honor of all these folks, I think it would be quite fitting for us to take a music break. And this hit home for a lot of us. It really did. It hit home for a lot of us. And I know there's some folks standing by who might want to chime in, and we'll see if we can get them on. But when I heard this from DMX, I'm sorry, not just DMX, but from Biz Markie, that he had passed, I know he had been, you know, fighting illness and this and that over the times, recent times, as so many folks have. But, you know, just hearing it was quite devastating. But his song was so uplifting, and that it has turned into a celebration of life. Yes, and his singing, We know so many folks who sang like Biz Markie, and it just the song just meant so very much to us. It really did, and he meant a whole lot to us, along with all of these folks. So we wanted them to be more than just a footnote. We really did. So that's why this was so important. I'm going to see if I can find this amazing song. So what do you say when you hear about Biz Markie and all these folks, Mary?
Well, it's important for everyone to remember they have the potential to become a legacy. So, you know, be your best self and do whatever it is, you know, follow your passions. And, you know, we're not guaranteed the next moment, let's not tomorrow or anything. So yeah, I want everybody to absolutely embrace life because it is for the living and make your mark.
All right. On that note, here is the song that really established Biz Markie, rap artist Biz Markie. And it's such a fun song that even if you're not into rap music, the song is so infectious and it has such a, I think it's just a lovely melody. Please take a listen. And it's Just a Friend by Biz Markie. We'll be back. I'm Carrie Hines. I'll be back with Mary Reed Johnson and all of you. So stay with us.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping form with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Cause when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say. You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Was working for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends and that's a fact, like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend. To see my girl that was so exquisite, it was a school day. I know she was there the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was a dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say. I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event. So I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.
Hi, my name is Crystal Jones Bond of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
It's Kathy from the South Jersey area, and you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Introducing our brand new 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Listen at hairradio.com. It's hair and beauty talk all around the clock. Great guests.
All right, it's Thursday morning, January 6, 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. You've been listening to A Look Back with my very special guest co-host, Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. Listen, we've got a big show on this Thursday. It's our very first day past our 650th broadcast. That was yesterday. Still celebrating. We're in a celebrating mood, and we are so thrilled. It's been an extraordinary morning already here in New York City as we broadcast live. So really good things ahead. I'm really, really pleased. Coming up at about 7:30 this morning, we have a live filed report from Will, from Harlem Will. It's the Harlem Will Report. He's taking a look at a few things that you guys should be talking about. And if not, you'll be talking about them after you hear his report. So I'm real excited. It's live. I don't know what he's going to say. We'll find out together at about 7:30 this morning. And then in about an hour from there, at about 8:30 this morning, we're on with California, on with the West Coast. We are so thrilled to welcome back to our airwaves, the one and only Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. So he'll be with us live. He's talking about all kinds of new things. He's working on a whole bunch of stuff, and I can't wait to catch up with him. It's his first appearance on the broadcast in 2022. So we're real happy to find out how he spent the holidays, and we'll do that. There's more to go on this looking back episode or that we are running right now that we kind of interrupted to bring you some updates. Just want to also remind you guys, on Friday's show, Jossie returns. So she'll be with us mid-show, and it's a big send-off for her, so please tune in if you can. And then next month we are working, well, actually we're working right now on what we'll bring to you next month, which is our look at the Black History Month. You guys know February is Black History Month. And we're going to lead in with a whole lot of special reports and things throughout the month. So it's not just your cookie cutter, you know, same three or four Black Americans that you've heard about. We are looking to bring some in-depth reporting on everything from the way folks are treated, African Americans are treated in the system, as we know, to systemic racism, to everything else. So it's going to be a little heavy next month. So, you know, put on those boots and come on in and join us. I think you're going to enjoy this. I really do. And so much more, as I said, to get to today. So stay tuned. If you've got something to say to us, we are all ears, press one. And we're going to get back into this part two of looking back. And so I'm excited. That's Mary Reed Johnson. We've got a little bit more. We also ran a piece earlier, which I just love, on resolutions. Hope you had a chance to enjoy that. I'm Carrie Hines. Stay with us. We've got a lot more. Speak for myself. I'm raising my hand, folks. I was shocked. I didn't expect that. It just seemed like it came out of the blue. What do you think,
right,
Mary?
I think that character assassination is not a new thing for our community when you think about the Panthers and what they were established to do and then how, you know, things were spun to make them look a different way. You know, he's already been tried. He's already served his time. But I look at the good that he did, and it is phenomenal. So I think there was some character assassination there, and I don't always agree with, you know, whatever the politics are, and I'm okay with that. Call Kerry.
I'm raising my hand, my other hand, in agreement with you. I think you articulated it beautifully, and I'm a part of that whole, you know, where we have the ambivalence. You know, a lot of that is political. It's the nature of the time. Right now, that was a different world. It was a different culture in those early days. And I'll tell you something. I'm from Philadelphia, and I can certainly speak to this. I grew up literally just a few blocks from Temple University, which was very well known and being connected with the wonderful benefits, along with so many HBCUs, who benefited from the largesse of Bill Cosby. So real interesting. And some of the other news stories that happened in the year, of course.
Can I back up just a second?
Absolutely.
Our historically black colleges get extra kudos because in that big money grab that they had for during the CARES Act, do you know that they actually paid for some of their students?
I love that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
That's okay. They actually paid for some of their students, or they housed them. They basically took care of their students instead of charging them and, you know, ruining their, you know, academic careers and stuff like that. So more than any other group in education, historically black colleges were there for their students, and I think they don't get enough attention for that.
No, absolutely not. And we're always talking about the HBCUs here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and folks like Bill Cosby who've made such huge contributions. A lot of folks would not be in school had it not been for his largesse. So let's just say that, and then let's move along, because remember, there are lots of ways, as you so eloquently put it, where things are being, you know, spun a certain way. We don't always, we are a little bit sharper minded than that. We don't just, you know, take whatever's tossed out at us as the gospel, as we say. Now, what I do want to say in this hour, first of all, if you're just joining us, we're in our third hour on this particular portion of the show, and this is a very special edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's our 2021 year in review. Now, just so that you know, what I love about what we're doing is that you can Google this on, you know, on your computer or cell phone, because I love that our year in review for 2020 was also fabulous. And it's so great when you play them both back to back. You'll play the 2020 and you'll play this edition and hear the contrast on what we thought 2021 would be like and what actually happened. So, Hair Radio Morning Show, we're doing something very special because, you know, we get a chance to chronicle our lives. We literally get a chance to chronicle our lives through our radio broadcast. And just doing so many radio shows, as you guys know, we're doing hundreds and hundreds of shows. We've done literally hundreds and hundreds of not just my career in broadcasting, but of this version of the Hair Radio Morning Show, where we've had some
of the
biggest names.
Tell them how many years, Kerry. Tell them how many years.
About 20, the Hair Radio Show itself is over 25 years in broadcasting. And again, just for you folks who may not be aware, we started out in AM and FM broadcasting on regular, what they call terrestrial radio, which is what you used to turn a dial on in the old days, to moving to the Internet. We had the very first 24-hour radio network on Hair and Beauty back in the early 2000s. I relaunched it in recent times, but we were the very first to do that. And so I'm so excited. And because of my experience with this, and then we turned the radio show, which used to air mornings and nights and all times of the day, into the morning show. So that became a three-hour daily morning show. And in doing so, I have become the most prolific hair radio broadcast information or recorded material in the world. The number one tops, bar none. I'm real excited about that. And I was the first to have a regular broadcast on hair and beauty on radio in the world and the longest running. So all those things we deserve credit for. But I look past that and say you deserve the credit, being our fans and listeners and our advertisers and folks who continue to support us through all that we're doing. So I just want to say thank you. You have helped to be part of history. This show is an institution all by itself in the hair and beauty industry. So just taking a moment during our 2021 year in review to make that acknowledgement. And so it's a great thing this morning to talk about. Mary, thank you.
We
thank
appreciate you,
for you
so much. Yes, thank you for giving and giving and giving some more. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that means a lot. And so speaking of which, and this year I've had folks who this was their very first time coming to our radio show. Even though I've worked with a lot of these folks, in real life, you know, off air, they've been at my hair events. Back in 2019, I had the great pleasure of working with Bernard Bronner. He attended my Hair Nation Expo that was held live and in person down in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at the famed Showboat Hotel. Not just Bernard was there, but also I had a few legends. I had Bernard there. Bernard Bronner of the famous Bronner Brothers Family Events out of Atlanta, in case you guys don't know who Bernard Bronner is. He's also the CEO of Upscale Magazine. You guys know Upscale Magazine. It's been around for 30 years. So Bernard worked with me back in 2019. He attended my show. Just a wonderful, wonderful fella. And then also, we also had John Glassingame, who started, a big person who helped to start, I should say, Hype Hair Magazine. So he was there. And also at my event in 2019 at the Hair Nation Expo, we also had the amazing Alilia Bundles. And you guys need to know who she is, granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. And Madam C.J. Walker was just an extraordinary lady, as you guys know. She's known as the first self-made female millionaire in this country, black, white, or otherwise. But what's really amazing about all of that is that Alilia Bundles, who Alilia was named after Madam C.J. Walker's own daughter, Alilia, if you guys will remember, and we just love her so very much. And Alilia Bundles did the movie that aired on Netflix, and it's still out there on Netflix, called Self-Made. We covered this. Mary Reed Johnson, are you listening? We covered this on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we had a big panel. We talked about it. It was so exciting. It was so exciting. So, and a lot of folks, this was their first time getting a chance to really listen to, you know, what this was their take on what was going on. Now, when Alilia was on our show, Alilia Bundles, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam Walker, she was on my show. Of course, she was at my hair event, but she was also on my show on the Hair Radio Morning Broadcast. And when she was, she shared with us about the upcoming Netflix show. So I had a chance to talk to hair industry royalty. And in fact, how about if I get on a little bit of Alilia's interview right now, in case some of you need to be reminded of our great legacy and place in this business. And then it's on to the biggest news story. And one, I think the biggest news story in hair and beauty One of the biggest news stories in the world in 2021. We're going to tell you all about it in just a bit. But first, this was a piece that we did with Alelia Bundles, who is the lady behind the Netflix movie Self-Made, about her great, her famous great-great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker. So just, boy, oh boy, a lot of stuff going on. So here, we'll play a little bit of this, and we'll chime back on in with more with Carrie Hines and Mary Reed Johnson, and so much more of this special edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show, a look back at 2021. Here's Alelia Bundles. Now, this is a little bit of an older interview, but I wanted you guys to hear it because it relates to her Netflix show, which is still playing, about Madam Walker. Take a close listen, and we'll be right back with you. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Alelia Bundles, and we'll have her tell you the rest. Good morning, Alelia. Good morning to you, and welcome
to the show. Good morning, Carrie.
Yes, it's great to have you with us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, I just want to jump right on in. You are, now hold on, let's let you tell us about the amazing lineage that you have in the hair and beauty industry. Go right ahead, you take it away, Alelia.
Well, I grew up with two parents who worked in the hair care industry. My great-great-grandmother is Madam C.J. Walker. My mother was vice president of the Walker Company when I was growing up, and my dad was president of Summit Laboratories. So we spent our vacations going to hair shows.
Wow. Well, you know what? Let's start off there. Tell us a little bit more about, now, I've certainly, we're a little bit more familiar, obviously, with your great-great-grandmother and even your mother's work, your grandmother's work and so forth. But tell us a little bit more about your grandfather, was it, that you were just mentioning?
My father was president of Summit Laboratories, and my mom was vice president of the Walker Company.
Oh, okay. Now, tell us about the Summit Laboratories. So what did he do?
So Summit Labs, so in the late 1950s, when companies like Johnson and Soft-Sheen and Summit were developing the chemical hair straighteners, and, you know, people were going from the hot comb to chemical straighteners, then my dad was president of one of those companies. So when I was growing up, actually the Summit Labs was the bigger deal, was the more successful company financially, but the Walker Company, that was founded by my great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker, in 1906, certainly continues to have the legacy as a founder of the black hair care industry.
I see, and that's what I wanted to kind of jump on in. I just wanted to mention a little bit for us that it might have been lesser known. Amazing. Now, we have to let us kind of elaborate a little bit on that. When someone mentions to you, and I know you've done a million of these interviews, and of course everybody wants to ask you, what is it like being related to the person that we consider who started the entire black hair care industry? So I have to ask you the same question, Lilia.
It's perfectly fine. So I will tell you, as a kid, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. And my mother, who was the fourth generation of women in her family to be an executive with the Walker Company, was really wise about not making it a big deal. Because you don't really want to overwhelm kids with something like that. And so she kind of let me discover it on my own. I would ride with her to the Walker Building in Indianapolis, which was this beautiful block-long flat-iron building where the company was based, the factory, the ballroom, a theater, a drugstore, a beauty shop. So I would get out of the car with her, ride up the elevator to her office, where in the late 1950s she had an adding machine and a typewriter before computers and calculators.
Oh, yeah.
So I experienced that, the Walker Company, in that way, going back with my mother to the factory and talking to the ladies who were still working there and putting the products into the jars by hand. So I had that kind of memory. And then my real love was writing. And both of my parents encouraged me to follow my dreams, so that when I got to
graduate school at Columbia in journalism, my advisor was a sister named Phyllis Garland, the only black woman on the faculty at the journalism school, and Phil recognized my name, Alelia, which is Madam Walker's daughter's name, and she said, your name is Alelia, do you have any connection to Madam Walker and Alelia Walker? And I think she probably knew the answer, but I wasn't walking around talking about it all the time. And Phil, after listening to some of my lame topics for my master's paper, said, you know, you are going to write about Madam Walker. And that was in 1975, and really Phil validated it for me at a time when nobody else was really saying you need to write a book about this amazing woman.
Wow. Well, I have to say also, the fact that you have that you are a part of this amazing lineage that we feel has really shaped everything that we know about here in BDISA. What do folks, I mean, when they come up to you, is it something that they're really nervous and, like you were saying, you know, maybe apprehensive about? And what does that mean to you?
You know, I think the thing that's really the most special thing for me is that I get a chance to tell this story. And, you know, and again, as a young person, I was kind of self-conscious about it. I was really, you know, much more interested in Alelia Walker and her Harlem Renaissance life. But what I, you know, as I became more mature and as I really began to understand who Madam Walker was, I realized that her story inspires other people. And it is about hair, and it is about her being a pioneer of what's now a multi-billion-dollar industry. But it's also about her challenges and her overcoming obstacles and being an entrepreneur, being a single mother, and having early struggles in her life. And then being able to employ thousands of other women, helping them become economically independent, and taking it even to another level by becoming a philanthropist and a patron of the arts. So she used her wealth and her influence to make a difference in her community. That began to become as important to me as the hair care part.
Wow. Amazing. And we're going to get into that because there is still, you guys are a part of providing still hair care products that carry Madam C.J. Walker's name.
Yes.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that. We'd love to hear more.
So the Madam C.J. Walker Company was founded in 1906 and really was one of the premier black-owned hair care companies into the 1950s. But it was, you know, the market was disrupted by companies like Summit and Softsheen and Johnson Products, who were doing a different way, creating new products for black women. And so the Walker Company began to, you know, sales began to drop off in the late 50s, but the company never went out of business. And about five, six years ago, Richelieu Dennis, the CEO of Sundial Brands, bought the trademark and has, as we know, reformulated Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Culture. So there now are 24 products, all new formulas that are available at Sephora. And I think, you know, sometimes I do still get emails and phone calls from people who say, now, can I buy that original Madam Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower? You know, my grandmama used to use that, and that was... And I just try to be really gentle with folks and say, you know, 106 years ago, this was revolutionary, which was essentially petrolatum like Vaseline and sulfur that healed dandruff and scalp infections. We needed that then in 1906. We've had 100 years of research and development, and we have taken advantage of that with these new products and these new formulas.
Absolutely. And to have done something that has such an impact, I mean, to be at Sephora, and here in New York, that's like huge to us here. So
exactly.
Outstanding. And I love the work that they're doing. So we're going to shout out those folks, you know, with the new voices and all that they're doing. So good work. Now, hey, I have to ask you, and folks out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. This morning we're chatting literally with, I call hair royalty, Ms. Alelia Bundles. And I just have to say also, now, you've got some exciting new projects to get into and to talk about a little bit. I think Yes, we're going to talk about this amazing TV series that everybody's talking about. It literally is all over the news everywhere. But before we get to that, Alilia, I do want to talk about, you've written several books.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're working on your biography, which I'm really excited to talk to you about. But yes, tell us a little bit about some of the books that you've written, if you don't mind. And also, do you prefer to kind of write more? Like, you do so many different wonderful things.
So I have written 4 books about Madam Walker, and I wrote my first one, a young adult book, in 1991. And believe it or not, that was the first book that had ever been written about Madam Walker. Then I did a major biography called On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker. And that is the book that is in development as an 8-part Netflix series starring Octavia Spencer and executive produced by Octavia Spencer and LeBron James. I've written another book for young readers and then a book that has 200 photographs called Madam Walker Theater Center. The book that I'm almost finished with now is a biography of Madam Walker's daughter, Alilia Walker.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNatural.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
Let's do it.
it's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Thursday morning, January 6th of 2022. And I'm broadcasting live from New York City, as you guys know. It's been just an incredible broadcast, as we have every Thursday. We're doing a little bit of the throwback music. You guys just heard the SOS band, if you remember them. And we're moving, we're turning to the Harlem Will Report. If it's about 7:30 in the morning, weekdays, we try to get on Harlem Will with the latest things that you should know. So I'm bringing to the line the one and only Harlem Will. Good morning. Good morning, Harlem Will.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
All right. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I hope everybody's doing great in the hair radio world. And hope everybody's ready for the Harlem Real Report.
Oh, yes, we are ready. What have you – there's a lot happening out here in the world, and I'll have a few program notes on the end of on the report today. But, yes, what have you got for us, Harlem Will? Always something exciting.
Absolutely. Exactly, exactly. So let's dive right into it. Okay, so
yes.
First story I have is that when the last time anyone has actually heard about the Wu-Tang's final album called Once Upon a Time in Shaolin? Well – it was actually the last time anybody heard about it. It was purchased by a pharmaceutical executive and a hedge fund manager named Martin Shkreli in 2015.
This is before he was convicted.
Yeah, and this is before he was convicted of securities fraud in 2018 in order to forfeit over $7 million to the U.S. Marshals, and they seized the album with other assets. Do you remember that story?
I do, yeah. We had just gone on the air that January of 2015, and I remember this was big, big, big news.
Right, right. So since the U.S. Marshals, being that that's the government, they were able to seize the his assets as well as the album. Now there are now photos, is being reported in BuzzFeed, that there are photos being leaked by the government that's showing that they've successfully sold the album, but they haven't disclosed who was disclosing the album. So BuzzFeed, they did more digging, and last July the Justice Department found out that the Justice Department announced they had found the buyer for the album, but didn't want to identify the individual or the price. New York Times reported the attorney Peter Schoolage, representing the digital art collector Pleaser Dao, Pleaser ending with a R, and D-A-O, I'll spell it out, P-L-E-A-S-R-D-A-O, so I represent them correctly, said the buyers paid the U.S. government $4 million for the album. The documents that the new buyers assumed the same terms as Shkreli's purchase, agreement. They may display the presentation box embedded with the Wu-Tang Clan logo, which was designed by British Moroccan artist Yahya Rauch. Oh my God! I'm sorry, Mr. Yahya.
These are some tough names to get across. But yeah,
absolutely.
Interesting. Okay.
And yeah, but the pictures are absolutely amazing about the album, and it's important to note, however, that Wu-Tang intentionally made the choice to only make one copy of the Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that one album story.
Right.
I'm going to follow that and make one book.
Right. They made it as a form of protest for the way music has been devalued in the digital era. So this has been a very... exclusive as the definition of the name of the word exclusive can be. And neither Schoolage nor Wu-Tang representatives wanted to respond to requests for comment by BuzzFeed. But RZA, the de facto head of Wu-Tang, told a New York radio station last year that, quote, he regretted selling the album to Shkreli, but since the sale of Pleaser Dao, RZA said he believed the album is in better hands. So
wow.
So it sounds like this thing's gonna have an air of what is it called? It has like a myth about it, you know, like a legendary myth that's gonna follow the Wu-Tang out.
Yeah,
which is kind of
right.
You know,
it's become mythical. Yes, absolutely.
So that's the first story. What do you think about that whole?
That's a great story.
Listen,
that is a great story. And I remember it. Like I said, we had just gone on the air on January 5th. As you guys know, we're celebrating 7 years yesterday of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I remember the story when it came out. And this guy, and I remember that they had, I thought it was two albums. But yeah, you're right, it was just one. And that was the biggest thing, and which is an incredible, on the side of marketing, if you're looking at it from a marketing standpoint and creating buzz, pardon the pun, but yes, if you're looking to create buzz about what you're doing and all of that, I think that's a great idea. Like I said, I'm thinking of, you know, when I release my next book, I'm only going to publish one copy. One copy.
Man.
I'm letting you guys know now. So get your bids ready, folks.
And
great
turn
idea.
Into an NFT.
You got it. Harlem Will, this is great. Okay. Folks, if you've just joined us, we're in the middle of the Harlem Will Report on the Hair Radio Morning Show on this Thursday morning, January 6th of 2022, show number 651. So I'm real excited. Harlem Will, I'll let you take it away. We've got more. I'll get to some of the program notes a little later. But what else have you got, Harlem Will, this morning?
Okay, so the next story I have, it's talking about the Biden administration after 12 months. So it looks like the honeymoon phase for Joe Biden's presidency is officially over, and now it's time for him to really get to some serious work in 2022. And the CNBC reports that President Joe Biden's disapproval rating hit a new high in December as more voters signaled their unhappiness with his administration's supervision of the economy and the COVID-19 pandemic. 56% of voters now say they disapprove of the job Biden is doing, the worst such reading of his presidency as approaches in the end of the first year in office, according to a new CNBC Change Research poll. Prior polls in the series show Biden's disapproval rating at 54% in early September and then at 49% in April. Concerns of the economy seem to be the main culprit for nearly every demographic. According to a USA Today poll, Suffolk County poll, Biden's approval rate is at 40% and Kamala Harris' approval rating is at 32%. But in contrast to the previous administration, Trump's approval rating was at a historic 38%, just to throw that out there for comparison's sake. So overall, it sounds like Biden is through the honeymoon phase, which is typical for every presidency, and now it's time for him and time for his administration to really start showing they're different than the last administration. How have you felt about the way the country has been responding to this new administration, Mr. Kerry?
For me, that whole thing about his disapproval ratings or approval ratings or lack thereof, I don't know. I think that I get media spin and all of that, and that's all that is. Every single solitary president, every single person who's been elected president, by the time it gets to the midterms, that party that's in the White House loses. That's typical.
Historically.
And the media, we're part of the media, but we're the good part of the media at Air Radio.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. So, I get that they want, you know, all of that causes folks to pay attention and look and read a little bit further to sell what they're selling. But I don't, they're working hard. They have a lot to contend with that no other president has had all of this stuff in recent times. Even the last administration didn't have even the after effects of all this crazy stuff. So they're dealing with a lot. I think they're doing the best that they can. obviously they want this to pass. They don't want our economy to sink. So they're trying to balance health and all these other issues. And I think, in my personal opinion, I think that the country should focus on what can we do to make things better. What can we do to make things better? Let's, yeah, he's going to go up and down. My God, he's barely, like I say, he's barely put his feet under the desk. You know, give the people time. And as in the words of President Kennedy, what are you going to do? You know, do what you can do to make the country better. And that's the thing. So I hope those same people over there who are looking at his, you know, approval ratings and happy to report that they are, you know, not so high, I hope they're also looking at ways that they can help to improve, not his rating so much as the country. What can we do to make this country better? I think folks need to, you know, that's the problem with so much of the media discourse. There's such a negative spin, and that's what just adds to the division in this country. Congress is meant to work together. That's why we have a two-party system. They're meant to work together. You know, it's just not, this is unbecoming, and especially on a day where it's marking the anniversary of this insurrection. That's what creates an insurrection, that kind of talk. So let's look towards figuring out what we can do to better ourselves and better this country. And I hope that's where we're going. So that's how I kind of look at it. I get it, you know, media stuff, and, you know, they put out these, you know, I call it clickbait. They throw out these things, and, I'm too savvy for this stuff.
These are just what CNBC is reporting.
In my opinion, that's why I gave you, asked me for my opinion. I'm giving my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's clickbait. So that's the way I look at it. I don't, you know, go out and put, you know, that's why I said, to me, it's about, I've been in media for, you know, almost 30 years, and I understand spin, and I look at the discourse, I look at the way that the country, whatever folks are talking about, this is how I spend the remainder of my day once the Hair Radio Show goes off. I take the temperature in the room, and that's what we do, and we try to present everything. So, you know, like I said, for me, you know, it'll pass, and they'll be on to whatever the next thing. Oh, what he's done great, and what they're on to this, and it's the history of this. And, you know, we understand how the media works, believe me. But you know, so I'm on to the next story. What have you got for us, Harlem Wheel? What else have you got this morning?
Okay, our third story is A Star Is Back, but not in Brooklyn. So, Brooklyn Nets star, right, Brooklyn Nets star player Kyrie Irving made his season debut
Kyrie,
last night.
My cousin,
yeah,
my favorite name.
Kyrie. And me and him, apparently, we have the same zodiac sign. We're both Aries.
Wow.
Apparently, both have the same kind of afro. I'm not going to lie. I think his is better than mine.
Yeah.
I'm feeling him. And he made his debut last night in Indiana against the Indiana Pacers, and he scored 22 points in his debut in helping to defeat the Pacers 129-121. Irving, who isn't vaccinated against COVID-19, making him ineligible to play in home games because of New York City's vaccine mandate, wasn't on the floor to start the season because the Nets decided before the season that they didn't want to have a part-time player, which is what he essentially is now. However, after a COVID-19 outbreak decimated the Nets roster and many other rosters across the NBA, the decision was made to allow Irving to rejoin the team as a player who could participate only in road games. When asked if he could get vaccinated, Irving responded, "I'm just going to take it one day at a time, and I'm just happy to be back on the floor with my teammates."
You know, that's interesting. If I'm going to weigh in on that, I think it's very interesting. I do. Once you put it that way, you know, where he says he doesn't just outright say no, and he doesn't sound like he's saying I won't. And so that's very telling to me. I think the whole thing is very, I really think it's very interesting. And I just don't know what, you know, so much the, I get outside, but it sounds a little off the wall to me, but, you know, these are, this is one of those stories. It's strange to me. I'm sorry, folks.
It really does.
Maybe it's just Thursday or something. I don't know. It's just, it's strange. It's a strange story to me for some reason.
I wouldn't want to call them strange. I've learned that for the last 2 years for people who, there's other people who go to extremes. Is it? But then there's other people who just say, all right, I'm going to respect your decision. And he's a representative. He's as high profile of a person who represents that stance where they don't want to be, they feel like they're being forced by a mandate to put something in their body that they
you
just
know,
simply
that's
don't
a
trust.
Good, very good point. Very good point, Harlem Will, because that's how I initially felt as well. So I totally get, you know, to be really honest, that's how I felt. So I there are folks who felt like that, who still feel like that, and I totally understand. I totally understand their position. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going
to
say much more than that.
From that sense. Right.
Right. Good point. Harlem Will, you've done some good work. Wow. I'm impressed. Good stories. Very good stories.
That's right.
You did good.
These are the
wonderful stories that we do want to know about here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We don't often get a chance to watch TV. We have folks who wake up and hit the button and dial into the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we want to make sure they are informed. And so they're waiting out for the Harlem Will Report at about 7:30 in the morning. They know it's live with whatever else. We run a lot of content here on the show. You know, we've got oodles and oodles, a huge archive of material. So we run, before you get on, we have a lot of archive material that we run. And so folks are looking forward to you live at 7:30. So this is just awesome. And I love the stories. Like I said, this is great. Now, I want you to stick around.
And if I could add one more thing.
Sure,
well,
please.
I'm sorry, Carrie. Just one more thing I wanted to
let
you
know. No, go right ahead. Go right ahead, Harlem Will.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if fans, if they have any stories that they'd like to share with us that they would like me to look into on the Harlem Will Report, they can send those stories to our fan page at hairradio.com fan page. That is hairradio, HAIRADIO.com fan page. And they can send us any stories that they would like us to look into, and I'd be gladly to do my research and report it right here on the Hair Radio Show.
I'm loving it. And let me tell you what we're going to do. Along with the fan page right now, we have the Hair Radio Morning Show fan page there at hairadio.com, like Harlem Will said. But we are going to build your own Harlem Will Report fan page. And that'll be very soon. We're going to announce it right here. So you want to pay attention to Harlem Will's report so you can find out when that page is available. But you can go to hairadio.com right now and send him a message and send a message about some of the things that you want to hear covered in the Harlem Will Report. So I'm real excited about it, and this sounds awesome to me. Great job, Harlem Will. And again, Harlem is a big part of New York City. It's up in Manhattan. I always got to remind the folks out there just where it is and what's going on and all that wonderful good stuff. So listen, coming up at about 8:30 this morning, we have the return of Smooth Black. He's all the way out on the West Coast, out in California. So he'll be with us live. We're going to wake him up, and he'll be joining us live this morning. Then we're working on special items for next month. Of course, the entire month is Black History Month, so we are going to bring you the latest on some of that and some wonderful little tidbits and all of that. I don't know if you heard this, Harlem Will, but last year in 2021, we produced 131 episodes throughout the year of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Is that not an accomplishment?
Yeah, that's a heavy lifting accomplishment. I'm not surprised.
That's a real,
the most hard,
yes.
The hardest working person I've met so far.
well, back at you, sir. Back at you. And our amazing fans, you know, I have to let folks know, we're across at least 12 different platforms. We have oodles of listeners from from literally from California to New York, to Europe, to South America, to Canada, to Africa, to Australia. So I'm very excited about a whole lot of things. And you guys, in 2022, you have my promise that we're going to go deeper. We're going to look further. We're going to create original content. We're going to make sure that when you wake up early, anytime between 6 and 9 o'clock in the morning, hit that one button. We're going to add to your life that day, and we're going to help you to get it started in the best and most positive way you can. And so you've got me, you've got Harlem Will, you've got Mary Reed Johnson joining us on occasion, you've got Jossie when she's here, Shakora, you've got a whole a host of regulars, not to mention Vet Talk Radio Show folks and their team kind of, you know, doing more and more on our broadcast. And we're constantly adding folks. And we've got just, we keep coming out with something new. And so this is very exciting for me this time and this part of the year. Then, of course, you know, the entire year, we are have created the Year of the Woman. And that moniker, we're going to add that and continue that into 2022. So it is going to continue. So I really wanted to, you know, it's the year, you know, for us to promote women's health issues, and not just women, but really everybody. Everybody. So
that's
it. I know it's a little bit of a soapbox this morning, Harlem Will, but I wanted to just, you know, add to that. So, you know, just making things greater with what we're doing, working hard.
Yeah, just don't add part. Don't add that again part. We don't want to be reminiscent of something else.
This is true. Very true. Well, coming up at about 8:30 this morning, and you, Harlem Will, you haven't had a chance to meet Troy Ballard. He's a big-time hairstylist out in Southern California. I don't think maybe met him a while ago. He's been with us for a while, but we'll make the acquaintance again. Yeah, we'll make the reacquaintance, as they say, soon. So listen, I want to thank you, Harlem Will, and I can't wait to find out what you're going to bring to us on tomorrow's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So great job, you're doing excellent work. All right.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
I appreciate it.
You got it. And folks, again, I love what you said. If you have something for Harlem Will to take a look at or share, please go and to hairradio.com website. Again, that's HAIRADIO.com, just one R, and send him a message. Down at the bottom of each page, you can send a message to Harlem Will, to us here, and just let us know. Put your comment right there, and I'm sure he'll respond. We'll pass along all those messages to Harlem Will. All right, folks, why don't we just take a little bit of a commercial break? We'll be right back, and we've got more for you coming up right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to have you to stay with us.
As women, it seems
all
like
right,
we carry the weight
you.
Of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back, and I am so excited. We've got a lot to get to a little later on this show. As I said a little while ago, we're real happy to have you guys with us. It's our show number 651 today, show number 651, so as we broadcast. And I think we've got something. We'll take a little bit of a music break, and then we'll be back with something, some surprises and some more talk, and not just what we're doing in February, but some of the things that we've got to look forward to. So how about some RuPaul? I haven't heard this in eons. Stay with us.
Okay, stay with us, folks.
Once upon a time, there was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work. One thing to say, you better work.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special broadcast today. We're talking with three individuals who are protesters with the Black Lives Matter. And it's not just about being a protester with the Black Lives Matter so much, but also the fact of being injured. And we're going to get into all of that with the whole story. It's several stories. It's just amazing. And we're also joined by, you guys know her, Miss Lisa Bloom, the attorney for these individuals. We welcome everybody to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you.
I want to jump right on. Yes, good morning, guys. I want to jump right on in. Let me just identify everybody first. We've got Nia Love from Sacramento area,
as well as Fouché Clonaire from Sacramento as well, and Bradley Stein, who is down in Los Angeles. And you guys, again, were joined by Lisa Bloom from the Bloom Firm. Let's go ahead and start. This is really, all of this comes out of protesting in response to the George Floyd incident, the death of George Floyd back earlier this, in mid-2020. So I just want to get a little feel of, you know, maybe we can start with Brad. Maybe you can just explain a little bit about the incident that involved you in Los Angeles. And then we'll get everybody in real quick.
Sure, and thanks again for having us on. So I was like the rest of this country shocked and appalled at the senseless killing and the images and the video of this man squeezing the life out of George Floyd as he pleaded and begged because he couldn't breathe and wanted his life spared. And there was an opportunity in Los Angeles at a Black Lives Matter rally, and I decided to attend it. I was going to take my 10-year-old daughter, but I decided at the last minute not to take her. And, it felt like the whole of Los Angeles came out. Angelenos and folks, teenagers, kids, old people, everybody came out, and we gathered and we took our march to the streets, and we started marching down the street, and you know, we found ourselves at the intersection of Fairfax and
Third,
yeah, near the Beverly, I beg your pardon, near the Grove shopping center. And everybody was peaceful together. We were talking about the people that have lost their lives, from Breonna Taylor to George Floyd, and some Black Lives Matter folks were speaking about the injustices and about seeking police reform for the way that they have been acting to Black Americans and people of color in the United States. And the march continued, and we found ourselves in the skirmish line where police were violently beating up protesters. And in the melee of all of that, I saw somebody getting hurt. I tried to help them, and I was subsequently hit across the chest, and I was shot from a few feet away by a rubber bullet. Unfortunately, the rubber bullet hit me in the genitalia and ruptured my left testicle. So that's pretty much what happened to me.
Just awful. Now, Lisa, I want to kind of get into this with the rubber bullets, and of course, I want to hear from both me and Fouché as well. But I have to talk about this with the rubber bullets, because I've been reading and a whole bunch of going back and forth about the proper use of these rubber bullets and when they might be used for crowd control. Is there anything that you can add to that, Lisa Bloom?
Yes, absolutely. So, you might think, well, at least they're not using the regular bullets, they're using rubber bullets. But in fact, rubber bullets can be lethal, and they have been in a number of cases. And if they're not lethal, they can cause lifelong injuries, as has happened to all three of my clients, Bradley, Nia, and Fouché, who are on this call. Injuries to their face, to their eyes, to their genitals. It is horrific. And the guidelines in California for police state very clearly that rubber bullets and other so-called less lethal weapons are never to be used for crowd control. They're never to be used in retaliation. No police weapon is to be used in retaliation. If you're angry at somebody, if you don't like the way they're protesting, you're never allowed to use a weapon. They're only allowed to be used in self-defense or in defense of another when there's a very serious risk of injury or death. And even then, you're supposed to shoot center mass, meaning to somebody's torso, never to the genitals or the face. That's why all three of these cases are so important, because we have to hold the police accountable for maiming people who are there protesting a very just and righteous issue. This should never have happened to any of them.
Absolutely. I want to turn to the two from San Francisco, Nia Love and Fouché Conner, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. So, I'm sorry, from Sacramento. Correct, okay. Sacramento, California. Nia and Fouché, tell us, now, were you guys at the same Black Lives Matter march in your area, in Sacramento area?
I'm not sure.
Nia, I'm sorry.
No, it was two different ones.
Two different ones. Okay, I just wanted, okay. Nia, just to start with you, can you tell us, because I was looking a little bit at your story as well, I was first of all, blown away with your poise. Can you just tell everybody a little bit about your experience, what happened to you on that night when you were marching for the Black Lives Matter?
So Bradley said, after the George Floyd murder, I was angry, upset, hurt. So I went out to march with my youngest brother, and for a while it was okay. It was fine, and then it got really hostile. And I was actually walking away from the crowd, and I turned around to look for my brother. When I turned around, in a couple seconds, I was hit in the eye. And my eye was literally blown to pieces.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you guys. Mm-hmm. This is really tough to hear, for our listeners out there. How are you guys actually coming along at this point? How are you doing, Ian, since I have you on the line about this? How are you coming along? How is your eyesight at this point?
I'm not that great. I haven't been at work in about 8 months.
Wow.
Since it happened, it's hard for me to get medication because my insurance got canceled because I'm not working.
Mm.
I can't drive. I'm completely blind on the left side. So it's hard. I'm still trying to figure out how to maneuver day to day with learning how to live my new reality, being blind in one eye. And then mentally, it's also very hard.
Well, I have to tell you, and I just in looking at some of your information, I saw a comment there about, that you have daughters and you certainly, you don't want them to ever grow up in this kind of crazy, to go through these things that we're all going through right now. So just a really good, you have, just such, under the circumstances, just doing amazing things. With all of this.
Thank you.
I have to turn to you. Yes, absolutely. I'm sure there's a better way to put that. Fouché, please tell us a little bit. I didn't get a whole bunch on your experience, and I wanted to definitely understand exactly what happened as well from Sacramento. So please tell us when it happened and exactly what happened.
Hello. It's very nice to be here as well, everybody else, including Lisa. What happened on, May 31st for me was that after seeing protests and after seeing what George Floyd happened, what happened to George Floyd, it definitely moves me into a direction, a different direction. I've been wanting to be a part of serving people, serving the country, serving my community for a while. I wanted to be a part of law enforcement, and I was aiming towards that. Just going all the way back to Trayvon Martin, going all the way back to, Eric Garner, all the people that have been already made it pretty obvious that this injustice and this inequality is blatant in our country. it made me think about all that and what I could be doing to helping. And the one thing I know is just to exercise my rights protest, just as everybody should when they see injustice or they see something that needs to change inside our country historically. I wanted to go out there to march with my brothers and sisters, to go out there and speak out for change and to ultimately be peaceful. I really wanted to go out there, be peaceful, have us be heard, but also not have us be harmed as well. We were all taking knees, chanting, sitting down, and a lot of that stuff changed when police presence came. They came in armor. They came with what it looked like guns at the time. They came and just looked like full riot gear. At a protest that was pretty much peaceful. It was all peaceful. I did not feel like I was threatened or my life was threatened, or I didn't feel fear until that presence, until that police presence came there. And once they came there, we went to go to continue to protest on the street that we were on the Capitol, at the Capitol. And shortly after that, they let go tear gas, rubber bullets, projectiles that one, as I was fleeing, did hit me in my face, really close to my eye. I couldn't see for a while, and it has forever changed my view and my look at my future career path, and what I could be doing to helping this movement.
Mm. And I saw these pictures. How is your eye coming along? How is your injury coming along at this point?
Recently, I have still had floaters and light still bothered with my eye. I forever have a scar right next to my eye. And honestly, my life has been flipped upside down, and ever since then, moving forward has been a little bit more difficult. Seeing positivity in what everything's going without reform.
Wow, I'm just first, thank you very much for sharing. You guys, if you're just joining us, let me just bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on today with three individuals, all who are Black Lives Matter protesters who were injured. Now, Lisa, I do have to talk to you about one of the things that I had noticed. And what I saw was that I think it was in the case of Nia, the law enforcement, I think they were saying that there were several different, no one like would take ownership of these rubber bullets being fired,
right.
It seemed to me like everybody, like two or three different police agencies or whatever were blaming the other. And I'm blown away. So what on earth can be done, if anything? It's hard to, when they won't even acknowledge that, it was there, which to me, I can't imagine that there can't be records that would indicate when a firearm is discharged. I mean, that's just, I don't even know what else to say.
Carrie, you're putting your finger on something that's so important. Can you believe we live in a country and our tax dollars are going to pay our local officials, and they cannot even tell us who fired bullets that injured a citizen? We don't know which agency it was. It was some other agency, probably not ours. We don't know. Maybe it was them. I mean, this is insane. Of course, they should always keep records. They're required by law to keep records when they discharge a weapon, when they use a weapon on a citizen. Now, we believe it was the Sacramento PD, but we have filed lawsuits on behalf of all three of these wonderful BLM protesters who are on the call with me right now, Nia, Fouché, and Bradley. And we will get to the bottom of it because we will force them to answer our questions and our subpoenas, and we will get to the bottom of that. I don't think that's going to be difficult. But what's really striking to me
is, you know, bringing this case to the present. We all saw what happened on January 6th at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., right, where that crowd of almost entirely white protesters was actually ushered right into the Capitol. I mean, police officers not only didn't use any violence on the crowd when they were just out there protesting, but opened the doors, there's videos, waved them on in, and now we find out that some of the, certainly not all, but a small number of the police officers there were actually white supremacists and sympathizers with those protesters. And it's just appalling and disturbing that the way that white protesters in events that are like Trump rallies and people protesting stay-at-home orders, the way that they have gotten treated compared to Black Lives Matter protesters. I mean, it really, you know, if you think about it, Nia and Fouché and Bradley were all there protesting police brutality, and then all three of them became victims of police brutality, proving the very point of the protest.
Exactly. Well, that's the irony of it to me, and it's just filled with this throughout everything. I mean, just the fact of the, you know, that you're there exercising your right, you know, to assemble peacefully, and then it's almost as if that these officers are unaware. I just it's hard to kind of rationalize this, try to explain it, but I have to say, folks have taken notice about the, it seems like such an uneven, you know, an uneven amount of force when it, as you just to your point, Lisa, about the, when it's relating to, you know, folks of color as opposed to those folks who were going out to support Donald Trump with their riot and so forth.
Yes.
But I tell you, I just want to say this, and I'm not, you know, just to kind of move along a little bit for everybody, but I want to thank everybody who is going out there and like what you guys have done with standing up and protesting. I've been out there myself, so I can certainly understand every single aspect of what it takes to do that. And you know, and looking at your stories and Brad, I think you know, and kind of looking at your story as well, I'm going to get into all of it now, but just, you know, just I'm blown away with the courage that it takes and the road that you've taken, to guys, for all of you to get where you are. And Lisa, I just want to say, if there, yes, absolutely. Do you guys, you know, easy question, but do you guys, is there anybody who would do anything differently? Nia, would you change and just, you know, if you could take it all back that night, would you change and do anything any different?
No, I wouldn't. Like I said before, it's bigger than just what happened to me. So I think, you know, take one for the team.
I hear you. Okay. And what about you, Fouché? Is there anything that you would kind of have done differently if you could?
I've asked myself that question many of times, to be honest. They all come to the same conclusion that, no, I wouldn't have changed anything that I did. I think if I were to change or say if I were to change anything, that's implying that what I did was fully wrong, and that's also implying that what they did was right. What they did wasn't right, and I'm here for a reason, and I'm here to fight for justice. So, no, I wouldn't.
I'm glad you brought that. Absolutely, and that was the point I was about to get to as well. Very good. Thank you for that. So, Bradley, I want to say, and in your case, you have just awful, you know, experience with dealing with all of this. Being from South Africa, you know, you've seen a whole bunch, and you just so you have a little probably, you know, I hate to say, but you've got some reference to some degree with all of this. So I just have to say as well, let me just stay on this. Would you do anything any different as well? Let me just officially ask you that question.
Yeah, this is Lisa, but I'm going to jump in on
Lisa,
that one for Bradley, because there have been criminal charges filed against him. So his case is a little bit different. And I have to jump in as his attorney and not have him answer that or anything too specific.
Don't ask, no problem at all.
Sorry. But
that's fine. No, that's perfectly fine.
Lisa, yes. if I could say one thing, and that is that, you know, the difference, I just want to go back and just address the differences in the way police handle, you know, what happened at the Capitol versus what happened
yes.
to Black Lives Matter marches.
Or you can talk about anything with your South Africa activism and background, because that's very interesting.
Yeah. So my background is I was recruited by President Nelson Mandela and his African National Congress as a clandestine officer, as a spy, to help them infiltrate right-wing white nationalist groups in the late 80s in South Africa. And I was involved with the struggle, like the civil rights movement here in the United States, but in South Africa. And what I've seen here in the United States is appalling. The white privilege that law enforcement, people in government, stand behind the institutionalized and systemic racism that I've seen in all these institutions is remnant of apartheid rule, methodologies of the South African government and what they used, and they actually got that from the Australians that were, suppressing the Aborigines, the Germans that were
right.
oppressing the Jews, and the national security apparatus in this country has to change. So, hopefully that's going to happen with this new administration that's coming in, because what we've seen with this Trump administration is that all this poison has actually risen to the top and it's shown itself. So, it's frightening to see the state of the blatant racism in the United States. And it's very reminiscent of apartheid South Africa and the oppression of that time. I just wanted to add that.
Well, I totally agree, and I'm sure many of our listeners out there are just it becomes very difficult for folks, for us to, keep seeing the same things over and over. And I just, we applaud you so very much, and I thank you. I cannot thank you enough, you guys, for really standing up for what you believe in beyond words. Beyond words. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Lisa, I just thank you so much, Miss Lisa Bloom. You are always doing amazing work. I just want to personally tell you that. I love you and your mother and just everything that you're doing. So keep representing the folks that you're doing and doing.
I love you. I love you back. And thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for speaking out about what's important and what's right. And that's what I think everybody on the line right now cares about. So bless you.
Absolutely. On that note, we'll go ahead and, respect everybody's time and just say thank you. Nia, love, Fushere, Connor, Bradley Stein, you guys, and of course the amazing Lisa Bloom. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything, and be well. Continue.
Thank you so much.
Clint Beast on the boom. You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Statewide Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. Catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses.
You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Dr. Pranique James, and Dr. James, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, thank you, Kerry, for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, you are a trichologist. Why don't you start, tell our listeners out there, what exactly is a trichologist?
Well, Kerry, that's a great question. Trichologist is someone who has studied the science of hair. So I work very closely with clients that are suffering from various hair and scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get the hair to a healthy state.
Okay. Well, we're gonna really go in that, kind of talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. We have a lot of folks out there who are experiencing what appears to be like hair loss. Or experiencing mm-hmm. hair loss, you might as well just say it. And I think that we'll be able to kind of shed some light on some things and kind of be able to point them in the right direction in terms of Absolutely. Seeking treatment or seeking help. Now, listen, in full disclosure, Dr. James, I have to say to all of the fans of the Hair Radio Show and those who've already purchased How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, you are featured in this great book. So, by yours truly. So I want to thank you for that and just point it out to everybody that in addition to this wonderful opportunity we have to talk to you today, that they can always pick up the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book because you bring the hair talk and they can read it word for word in this book. So I just want to mention that, get that out of the way a bit. Now, Dr. James, you were just telling us in terms of what trichology is. Let's just go back a little bit. Tell the folks where you're from and where you operate from.
I am originally from Norfolk, Virginia. I currently stay about 30 minutes away from Norfolk in the beautiful city of Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I also operate my salon, natural hair salon and clinic, which is known as Fruit of the Spirit Hair Care Studio and Clinic.
All right. Well, we're going to be checking back with you on that throughout the broadcast. I'm going to remind all the folks out there, keep reminding everybody about this wonderful place that you have so when they're in the area, they can check it out. Now, let us delve into this wonderful world of trichology. You see a lot of folks who have, in their opinion, experienced hair loss. But let's flip it. What do you think, what is the most common type of issue that you treat there in your shop in the way of hair loss?
That's a great question, Kerry. There are so many different variations of different conditions that I treat. For the most part, I find that a lot of women are coming into the clinic with traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is just one of the different variations of alopecia. There are so many. But what traction alopecia is when the client has or the actual stylist who rendered the service has caused trauma to the hair follicle. And in some instances, it can be reversed if it's caught, you know, early enough or, they're seeing the early signs. However, if they wait too long, then the follicles can become dormant, whereas, you know, it's not reversible. So that is the that's the number one. And then, you know, I'm seeing androgenetic alopecia, where it's, you know, it's from the genetics. It's, in, you know, hereditary. And then I'm seeing a lot of seborrheic dermatitis, wherein that can also lead, you know, to hair loss or thinning around the hairline if it's not treated. So, again, there's so many different variations, but pretty much those are the number one types that I'm seeing.
Okay, well, in talking about it a bit, especially the traction alopecia, is that the one that's identified most with, like, the tight braids and the the pulling from the scalp for the tight ponytail type things. Tell us a little bit, what are some of the, that in your experience, some of the common styles that seem to contribute to traction alopecia or could lead to it?
The type of styling that could lead to traction alopecia, of course, is the weaving, the tight braids, chemical damage, you know, overprocessing of chemical relaxers, which can also cause scarring alopecia, wherein, you know, in most instances, the hair will not grow back. But for the most part, it's the tight braids, glue, which is definitely a no-no. I wouldn't advise anyone to do the glue-ins, even with the so-called protective methods or taking precautionary measures, you still can cause, you know, damage to the follicle itself.
Mm.
So those are pretty much the contributing factors.
Those are okay. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say that they feel like it, that there's nothing they can do. You know, and I'm understanding that there are some treatments, you yourself just mentioned that if, in some cases, if it's caught early, it can possibly be reversed. What can someone do? What are the steps they should take in terms of first identifying this and then what possibly could they do to minimize this or to reverse this, if you will?
They need to see a trichologist right away when they're experiencing the early signs. Like, say, for instance, they're experiencing excessive hair breakage or they had a chemical service rendered and they, you know, a bald spot occurs, or they're undergoing a tremendous amount of stress, which is also which can also lead to alopecia areata, which I didn't tap or touch on.
Right.
Alopecia areata can be caused by traumatic or chronic stress. Traumatic, of course, is something that happens unexpected, death in the family, loss of job, et cetera. That can contribute to traumatic stress, which, of course, can cause alopecia areata, wherein they may experience one mosaic circular spot in the head. If it goes untreated, then, of course, it spreads, you know, over the head, and it can go into alopecia totalis, where they lose all of the hair and eyebrows, et cetera. And then if it goes untreated, then it can actually go into alopecia universalis, wherein they lose all body hair. Of course, that is an autoimmune type issue,
right.
which, of course, can be targeted with health as well.
Now, the areata, isn't that the one that can possibly, you know, your hair can start to grow back after, you know, maybe the stress is, you know, alleviated in some way? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Yes. It normally takes about 3 to 6 months. You know, if the hair is going to grow back, that's the norm, anywhere between 3 to 6 months with treatments. But that is also a major. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening to you. Go right ahead.
No, I was just saying that is definitely another major issue that comes into the clinic, the alopecia areata.
Wow. Now, in your clinic, do you treat majority women or men, or is it about even? Do you find that these types of issues are about even?
I would say men are about 20 years ahead in the hair loss industry, whether, you know, they're receiving hair replacement treatments, et cetera. But a lot of women are coming out more so now than ever before. But to answer your question, Carrie, I treat approximately about 70% women and 30% men or males.
But tell us a
males
little bit
are very
about
secretive. Mm-hmm. Males are very secretive. You know, they're not like us women, wherein we, you know, we like to talk about it in a group, et cetera. They, you know, the males, they like to be very, this is a very private issue for them, and they don't really have a support group like the women, you know, do. But for the most part, like I said, I do treat both.
Okay, because I kind of can understand what you mean, because if I could just get away, throw a wig on, and nobody would know it's a wig, I'm out the door, I'm stepping on. And that's kind of how I, you know,
So in terms of treatment, yeah, and being a guy, I guess, you know, that's very possible where we would look at it differently. But I do want to ask about that. You said that, you know, with the men were 20 years ahead. What exactly did you mean by that? I'm not sure if I was clear on that.
Well, with the males, you know, with the hair replacement, like hair club for men and women, you know, et cetera, they actually, you know, took part in the hair replacement units prior to the women. They do like the toupees and the, you know, the hair.
Right.
Of course, they've got a little bit more modern today, but they were actually the ones that started, you know, wearing the hair replacement units or pieces, which is something also that I offer to as a solution to take care of my patients or clients that are suffering from hair loss, to take care of their appearance while they're in the midst of treatment.
Okay. Do they still call it like the prosthesis item?
Cranial prosthesis.
Yeah.
Yes, cranial
prosthesis
or prosthetics, yes.
Okay, wow. This is a vast subject. First of all, folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today's guest is renowned trichologist, Dr. Pranique James. And I'm so excited to have her with us. And you've been a longtime supporter of the Hair Radio Show, as we pointed out earlier. And we're just very excited to have you with us. And you are the go-to person. You are the go-to trichologist. And just a wonderful stylist. Now, you're a natural hair stylist. So you run the whole gamut. Tell our listeners some of the other things that you do at your salon, some of the other services, I should say.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, of course, I am the trichologist, but also I am the I'm an all natural focused stylist, meaning that we do not render chemicals within the salon, with the exception of color, but as for relaxers or permanent waving, et cetera, we do not render those type of services. However, whether the client is wanting to wear the hair kinky, coily, or smooth, frizz-free, flowing hair, we are able to achieve those options with chemical-free solutions. So we do provide alternatives to our clients to, of course, maintain the optimal health of the hair.
Okay, and speaking of optimal health of the hair, do you find that a lot of the clients nowadays are coming in with their whole attitude is about what can they do to keep their hair healthy or to get their hair healthy, and then what steps they need to do to keep their hair healthy? And maybe seeing you as that great first step, but what have you noticed at the salon?
Absolutely. A lot of the consumers are coming in, especially naturalists. They're coming in. They're wanting to know what products they can use on their hair, what supplements they can take to maintain healthy hair, et cetera. My approach is a multi-therapy approach. I work inside out. So healthy hair starts within, and it works its way out. So a lot of times clients that are coming in have a lot of nutritional deficiencies, which, of course, reflect in the hair. So let's say, for instance, someone comes in, they have an issue in their, you know, of course, our body, we have 10 different body systems. So a lot of times the women that are coming in, their issues are with their glandular system. That's the system that houses our adrenal glands. That's the system that helps us to deal with stress, menopausal issues, thyroid issues. All of that stems from that particular body system. So, again, back to health, a lot of times it's just a matter of being placed on a customized regimen in order to, you know, achieve the optimum health of the hair. Then, of course, the products, using the correct products in the hair. A lot of times they're using this product, they're using that, and they're actually product junkies. At my salon, I require, before any services are rendered, I do require a consultation to be rendered. It's not a 10-minute or 5-minute consultation. It's actually 45 minutes to an hour where I meet one-on-one with the potential consumer that comes in. I meet with them one-on-one. We address the goals that they desire for their hair. And this is just more so a basic consultation targeting healthy hair and natural hair. So we discuss their goals that they desire for their hair. Then I conduct a basic hair and scalp analysis to determine how those goals will be achieved. Then I identify their curl type, which is very important in determining what products will work best on their hair to enhance their curl pattern. So, again, they're not becoming a product junkie or, of course, we can better suit their needs. Then we address the various styling options only based upon the condition of their hair, the looks they're opting for, and I also go over an at-home maintenance regimen to follow. So a lot of times, you know, whether the client wants to be salon dependent or they want to take care of their hair at home, my right. number one goal is to make sure that they understand how to maintain the health of the hair. So if I have someone come, you know, a naturalista that comes in where they just want to know what type of products to use in their hair, I don't just sell them the products. I make sure that we do a tutorial. They know step one, step two, step three. I write them out a customized prescription on how to use the products. A lot of times, you know, you have to mix parts, et cetera, and the regimen is specifically designed for the individual. There is no one particular treatment or product that's going to work 100% across the board for each client. So that's why I recommend the consultation. So therefore, everybody's on the same page and we're moving in, you know, in the right direction.
What you say about the products, I mean, that just seems to be key. When we look at television, we are, you know, constantly seeing so many different new items on the market to treat hair loss. What's your take on it? And why do we see so much and nothing seems to really be effective in terms of what we see on TV?
Of course, you know, every time you turn around, like you said, you're seeing this product come out, this product, et cetera. Again, back to knowing exactly what the issues are, will pretty much determine what is needed for that particular individual. Like I said, there is no one-size-fit-all.
No, there isn't.
I highly recommend, you know, them coming in. If they're not in my area, if they're having hair loss issues, et cetera, they need to seek a trichologist. So therefore, they'll know exactly what the issue is versus treating the symptom. They can get to the source of what's going on. Because if they don't target this, what's going on, the actual problem itself at hand, then they're going to spin their wheels. If this product doesn't work, let me try this. Somebody said this is working and nothing is working. So they're wasting their money and their time versus just, you know, going to seek professional consultation, and, again, determining what's going to work best for them as an individual.
I see. Wow. Well, folks, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I want to take a moment to just thank Dr. Praneet James for being with us today. Dr. James, again, welcome to Hair Radio, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm really enjoying myself talking about what I love.
Well,
I can actually
so
go on
thrilled.
And on and on. I don't think you have enough time
well, that's
for me
okay.
today.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We've got 3 full hours here at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, wow.
And if you need more, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Speaking of which, actually, you bring up a very good point, because even following this interview today, folks can still read a whole lot more of what you have to say about hair care in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. So I'm very excited because you were kind enough to make a contribution to us and in the way of some wonderful hair ideas and some, you know, hair loss prevention ideas and so forth. And we really, really appreciate that. In fact, you mentioned something, and maybe you can help us to get to understand this, those of us who are novices and we're not stylists, but what exactly in terms of not identifying the curl pattern, but the classification, the 4C, the this, the that, what does that mean? You know what
okay.
I mean? In terms of, the different classes, is there a way that you can explain that so we at least have some kind of idea and we can take it from there?
Oh, absolutely. For the most part, the curl classifications or curl types, again, are determined, well, the products that you're using in your hair are determined by your curl type or your curl classification, and also how much heat is used on the hair, et cetera. You'll find that your looser curl pattern or wavy patterns will fall below the three or the earlier three, two, and one curl types. You'll find that your tighter curl types will be in the four category. You have your 4A, which is more so prone to frizz. That's more of a coily, curly type curl pattern. And then, of course, you have your 4B and then, of course, your 4C, which will be more your zigzag, which is the tightest on the charting. So, again, knowing your curl type will definitely take a lot of guesswork out of what products work best on your hair, what shampoos and conditioners, styling aids, all of that. And speaking of shampoos and conditioners, let me kind of tap on that as well. I find that I travel all over the country and do the different natural hair shows, and a lot of times I'm finding that the naturalistas, they're quick to pick up the styling product but forget all about the foundation, all right? The foundation definitely has to be addressed properly prior to coming in with styling aids. Of course, that has a lot to deal with your porosity and your elasticity, and just to kind of tap on that, that means a lot as well when you're determining what products work in your hair, what you need to use for your hair, et cetera. The porosity is the ability for the hair to hold up, absorb moisture or product. And then, of course, the elasticity is the ability for the hair to stretch and return to its natural state without popping or shedding. So it's good to actually have those two tests rendered as well before you actually determine what products will work best in your hair. And that should be something addressed in a consultation when you go visit your local stylist, or you're considering going natural, or you're completely natural. Now, back to the foundational products. Your foundational products should always consist of a clarifying shampoo. I hear a lot about co-washing, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Right, yes.
You should always have a clarifying shampoo, and I think the fear with a lot of the consumers that are natural, they don't want to properly cleanse their hair or completely submerge their hair in shampoo because they are afraid of the hair drying out or becoming really right. tangly, et cetera. But if you have the proper balance regimen, meaning that your hair, once you finish styling your hair or applying your styling products, your hair should be at a pH balance of 4.5 to 5.5. The scale runs from 1 to 14, and each product that you apply to your hair has a certain pH level. If you don't know it, know what the pH of each product you're using in your hair and how to determine that. You're going to be spinning your wheels. So back to your shampoo, you should always come in with a clarifying shampoo first. Clarifying shampoos will come in and remove any and everything that has deposited onto the hair shaft, oils, dirt, debris, minerals, some sweat. That deposit on the shaft make the hair very dry and brittle. Medications, if they, you know, go swimming, it takes everything out. And then your second shampoo should be determined upon your finished look. So if they're wanting to wear their hair curly or coily, they should be using a moisturizing shampoo that's geared towards texture. If they're wanting to smooth their hair, do a steam press or a silk press, then they need to be using a smoothing shampoo that's also a moisturizing shampoo designed for smoothing the hair, because those type of shampoos contain kyanic polymers. Kyanic polymers is a smoothing complex that prepares the hair for heat. It actually smooths the cuticle layer, so it makes the hair, it makes it more easier for the stylist or the consumer to actually go in with heat and smooth the hair. If they're using a shampoo that's geared towards curly, they're going to find that their silk press is not going to last as long. It's going to be a little bit more challenging to go in and smooth the hair. And then, of course, it doesn't have the heat protectants or the humidity blockers built in. And then they should be rotating their conditioning regimen. The hair is just like the body, so if they constantly use the same conditioners, eventually the hair will not respond. And this is just general. And once you build that foundation coming in with the proper shampoo and conditioning regimen, now, of course, your shampoos and conditioners should be sulfate-free. A lot of times, that's general. However, if they're experiencing any type of hair or scalp disorders, dry scalp, seborrheic dermatitis, eczema, psoriasis. They shouldn't be using any shampoos that contain SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate. And you'll find that a lot of the shampoos that state they're sulfate-free, they'll still have the SLS built in, which is very mild, a milder form of sulfate. And what sulfate is just like you use a dish detergent in your hair. Sulfate
That's
actually
right.
goes in and it strips the hair, makes the hair very dry. But as for the conditioners, again, rotating the conditioners, they should be using a protein and moisturizing treatment. However, too much protein can snap the hair, too little can as well, so they do want to make sure that both contents are properly balanced. And any other specifics that they may need, if they're suffering from hair loss, then, of course, there are treatment shampoos that are on the market that will cater to the hair loss. If their hair
well,
is very
know,
dry or porous, et cetera. Go ahead, Carrie. I'm
and,
sorry.
And no, I just wanted to jump in. No, I love this. I wanted to just say it seems to me that a lot of this would there's no way that just a person on the street would kind of know these things. So how do they find a trichologist? I mean, is it does every hairstylist know all of this? Or do you work with their stylist? What's the role of the trichologist in terms of how do you connect with the person? How does the person connect with you? How do they find you? And then what would you suggest that they do to even connect with a trichologist to begin with? Because it seems to me that they need to work with, that they have to, it's an education process as well, it sounds like to me.
Oh, absolutely. It's tons of education is ongoing. You know, the industry is constantly changing, just like just with hair in general, it constantly changes. But my advice for someone that is looking to become a trichologist, I would recommend looking to connect
with one. I mean, I'm
okay,
right,
I'm sorry.
One.
I misunderstood your question. Okay.
Okay,
internet searching, like in my area, if they type in trichologist, I pop up. I'm the only trichologist within, the Hampton Roads area. The closest near me is in the DMV, which is in your northern Virginia area. Trichologists are very rare. I am creating a program where I'm working with stylists or cosmetologists, providing them with a referral fee. For referring to clients that are suffering from hair loss, and then I can write out a prescription on, what they need to do if they, when they return back to their stylist on, what products their stylist need to use, et cetera, or they may come once a month to me and still continue their service with their stylist, et cetera.
So it's like a team approach.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be a team approach. Once they come and have treatments done, they don't want to return to what they were previously doing because they're just, defeating the purpose. But like I said, for the most part, is a, an inner issue working inside out. So for the most part, if they are placed on the proper regimen health-wise as for, nutritional supplements, then, of course, that will help, the outer. So that's pretty much what, the steps we take. And then, of course, we treat topically and we come in with electrotherapy treatments. All of that is inclusive in, coming to a trichologist. Hopefully I'm answering your question and not going around this.
No, I think
bush.
You're doing a great job.
okay.
And I'm listening to every word you say. My other question, I was just thinking as you were explaining that, what about the cost? Now, this seems to me that this is beyond, I call it para hair. This is beyond the typical styling services type thing in general. Of course, it can still be part of it, as you explained earlier. But is this something that quite possibly insurance might cover? Is that even possible in some cases? Or is this – because it sounds so medical and so – it just sounds very like a different level beyond – styling services that you generally find with a hairstylist or a barber?
That is a great question. Still to date, the insurance companies do not cover the trichology treatments. However, they do cover hair replacement. However, it has to be pre-approved by their insurance company, and it will fall in the category of cranial prosthetics as for them, us providing them with a solution, to take care of their appearance. But still to date, they don't cover trichology, you know, the trichology aspect of it, which is sad. But we're working towards that at this point, and in the near future, it should, you know, come into effect.
And one of the biggest questions that I should have asked you kind of at the top, and you kind of explained a whole lot since then, which has been fantastic, but clearly the difference between a dermatologist and a trichologist.
Well, again, that's another great question, Carrie. You have so many great questions. The difference, and that's a very important question, the difference between a trichologist and a dermatologist. A dermatologist is someone who more so specializes in derma or skin. However, they have been trained to, you know, work with hair slightly. But when a consumer goes to a dermatologist and they say, okay, I have this issue with my scalp, et cetera, the dermatologist is only going to treat the symptom, meaning they're going to maybe suggest cortisone injections or some type of topical solution, et cetera, which, of course, only pacifies the problem. On the other hand, or causes some other side effect. On the other hand, when a consumer comes to a trichologist, we take a multi-therapy approach to overall hair health, meaning that we're going to, you know, get to the source of what's going on to provide more of a permanent solution versus something that's, you know, only going to be semi-permanent or temporary.
Okay,
actually.
Got it.
They go to a dermatologist and, you know, they provide them with a topical solutions, a lot of times it throws the pH of the hair and the scalp off, dries the hair out severely. So they may take care of one issue, you know, temporarily, but it causes another issue, you know, severe hair breakage, again, throwing the balance of the hair off. The hair is very porous. So I'm not saying that the dermatology solutions do not work, but if someone comes to me that has been to a dermatologist, I don't talk against the dermatologist or just pretty much, you know, tell them to put, you know, put the product.
You don't say don't go back to that one.
Right.
Okay.
What we do is we can take what they have and add to it to make sure that the hair is balanced, because the ultimate goal is when that hair is growing in, we don't want it to reverse. We don't want it to snap back off. So if the hair is growing into a unhealthy environment, if it's very dry, you know, growing into a dry environment, it you know, especially with the tighter curl patterns in the four categories we mentioned earlier, you'll find that the hair started snapping back off, so they started going, you know, backwards, and they'll end up with the same issues.
Well, I have to say, folks, Dr. James, you are just chock full of information. We're going to have you back often because our listeners. Yes, well, we'd love to have you because our listeners have a lot of questions. Hair loss is a huge topic. It's a big discussion. And today was a great introduction to it. But we need to have you back to break it all the way down.
Absolutely.
So that
I'd love
way,
to do
yes.
that.
Well, we'd love to have you. Now, you know what, before we go, let me just have the folks out there know how to reach you again. Dr. James, how would they find you? Where would they find you? How would they find you and all of that? Please share that with our listeners.
Great. Thank you, Carrie.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He
She is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's that rug.